Cincinnati.
To episode 246 of Cincinnati, the Bengals UK podcast. My name's Paul Hirons. Whoa, it's all happening, isn't it? It is all happening. Free agency is currently a go. Legal tampering started at 12 o'clock Eastern, which was 4 o'clock in the afternoon here in the UK. It is Monday, the 11th of March, coming up to about 20 to 7. And I'm going to mention the time and the date quite a lot in this episode because things are moving, things are happening so quickly that by the time, whenever you listen to this, things will have changed dramatically. People that we speculate about will have been signed by either the Bengals or elsewhere. Things that we speculate about will not happen the way that we speculate about. Actually, it's quite futile doing a podcast at this time. But you know what? Who cares? It's a podcast. It's possibly my favourite time of the year. And I know for a fact that Nathan Palm is also excited. Aren't you, Nathan?
No, I am indeed. Yeah, it's always a fun time of the year. You can't take your eyes off it. Give an hour goes past and some deals are getting done. There's always some shocks, some releases, trades, and all sorts. And in the end, sometimes it doesn't make anywhere near as big of impact as you think when the season begins. It all sort of goes back to normal. But while it's going on for that first couple of days, it done off. Get you through a few days in March, didn't it?
Yep, absolutely. And things are going on. Things are kicking off. We're just going to go through the few of the deals that's been happening around the league. Some things have happened with the Bengals so far. Travion Williams has signed a one-year deal. And Drew Sample has received a pay rise. He signed a three-year deal, Nathan. I think it works out. I think he gets $4.9 million up front and then something like about $3.5 million a year or something like that or whatever it is. So that, I mean, it's a good deal, but again, that represents a bit of a pay rise for Drew. So they said they valued him and they just kind of put their money where their mouth is a little bit on that one.
Yeah, one of them, it's hard to get too excited about it. He's not a huge player in terms of the receiving game, is he? But they trust him as a blocker. He's been around for a while, good guy in the locker room. We've had him on the podcast, and we can certainly vouch for him being a top geezer. You're happy for him. It's not a huge amount of money either, is it, for a depth piece, someone that can come in and do a bit of everything, almost a bit like a fullback in some ways, Drew Sample. But, yeah, okay, it's getting business done, isn't it? Not every player on your roster needs to be an all-pro. For you to win it, it's all going to be comprised of a number of different elements, and one of them being Drew Sample. I'm not massively for or against it, really. If they believe he's the right guy to come back and fill that role, like you said, it's a sensible price, isn't it? It's not too much. I think everyone sort of thought it'd be around 9-10 million when the news came out that it was a three-year deal. I think it's 10.5. You know, fair play for Drew.
No, I agree. I know it's not the most flashy of signings, but I thought he was a pretty, you know, crucial part of that offense in a very low key way last year. You know, they did line him up as a fullback, moved him around the line a little bit. He caught a few more passes than usual. So no, he's not like tight end one material, but he's one of those guys that does a lot of heavy lifting back there, and he showed last year that he's quite flexible and. You know, they value that. So welcome back to Drew and welcome back to Travion. There is speculation out there that the Titans are interested in Chido. The Lions have got a big interest in DJ Reader. Don't do it, DJ. Come back. that's the extent so far. We'll get to the biggest news of the day in a moment. Von Bell has just been released, Nathan, from the Panthers, who are having a bit of a spring clean by the looks of it, or at least I think about to be released. And obviously Bengals fans quite fancy a reunion. What do you think about... well, let's talk about two former Panthers players and former Bengals players, Hayden Hurst and Von Bell. A reunion on the cards? What do you think?
It's always a bit. It's always a bit troublesome for me when you go back to your ex in these scenarios. You know what I mean? I feel like it once.
Got to make a clean break, right?
Well, it's just hard, isn't it? Because I mean, I think the thing with the NFL as well is by the time someone goes away and then they come back, a few years have gone by, and the NFL is a bit of a brutal business in that sense, isn't it? You know, anytime anyone gets over 30, you start worrying a bit. Von Bell's 29. Hayden Hurst's a difficult one because he was good when he was here, and I thought it was a real shame that we let him go because I think he filled that gap quite nicely as a sort of pass catching tight end. The issue with him though is all about the I think his dad came out and said that he'd had some quite serious neurological issues as a result of some concussions and things like that.
Well, wasn't it amnesia, some sort of amnesia, which was horrifying, which is terrifying as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's going to come into whether or not you seriously consider bringing him back, or frankly if he wants to continue playing, you know. That's right,
that's another consideration, isn't it?
But I'm not normally a huge fan of it. I thought Von Bell was fantastic when he was here, and again it was a real shame that he left. I don't know really what his market would be after, obviously, you know, didn't do a huge amount really for the Panthers last year, but also part of a very poor Panthers team, you know, maybe the worst or probably the worst in the NFL. We had a PFF grade 63.9. It was alright. I mean, it certainly could provide depth, and the Bengals are looking potentially to bolster the safety position. So I think of both of them, I'd be more inclined to bring him back. But there does seem like quite a lot of safeties out there. So I don't think the Bengals need to be in a rush. If it was for a good price, I don't think anyone would be too unhappy with that, to be honest.
The only thing with Von Bell is, I mean, I mentioned this on our Mama T episode on Friday. I was flying solo, Nathan, while you were out and about gadding around Europe in your on your exclusive Playboy yacht around the Mediterranean. I sort of said I would quite like at safety. If we're talking about safety, I would like a proper free safety, because we've got Jordan Battle as an in-the-box safety, do you know what I mean? And even Dax is more adept at that. There's an argument there for that. I would like a proper free safety, and which is why someone like a Xavier McKinney would be my favourite player to come in. But that's probably not going to happen, because I think he's probably going to be the highest paid safety in this class, and you know, we're looking at Jesse Bates' money, if not more. Someone like Justin Simmons would be a good one, even though again he would probably command a lot of money. Darnell Savage has just been signed, someone I mentioned on Friday night. I think he's gone. Where's he gone? I can't remember. Darnell Savage. Anyway, it's whatever.
Deals going on even since we've started.
I know. So basically, yeah, I would like a proper free safety. I think that's what we need. And I wouldn't be averse to I think it was Kevin Byard to the Bears, actually. But anyway, I wouldn't be averse to the Bengals breaking their kind of, you know, they've got a bit of a profile when it an age perfect age profile when it comes to free agents, you know, that second contract, end of the rookie deal, 24 years old or so, 25, something like that. Not going to cost the earth. Mid-range sort of player that shows promise, and but I wouldn't be averse to. In fact, I think they quite need it with two young safeties back there. Someone quite experienced, so someone like a Bard who's 31 years old. But they just got to work out what they want back there. Do they want a starter, or do they want a mentor? Do you know what I mean? Do they want a mentor to come in for a year, 2 years to play sort of backup-ish, but plenty of snaps, but, you know, a backup, but really mentor those young guys, you know? Or do they not think Dax is the man, and do they want a new starter, a 24-year-old, someone like a Geno Stone from Baltimore, who's your starting safety for the next 3 years? You know, they've got to work out what they want, basically. What do we want back there? I'm undecided, actually, on that one.
Oh, yeah, I mean, my head's spinning, Sam, to be honest with you. You know, there's so many different... I mean, literally, I've been sat here, I've been up refreshing Twitter, and you've got such big names going left and right. I mean, the Bengals yet to sort of jump in yet. Typically, in the past, they used to like to sit there and be quite patient. I do think there's some great players there, and ultimately, for the Bengals... there's holes, aren't there? But there's no absolutely like it's a disaster situation. The only position I think you've got a real hole at is with Jonah Williams going at right tackle. He's the one that obviously, you know, with him off the roster, there's absolutely no logical replacement within the roster at the moment that could replace him. So I think that's one area you perhaps like to see them look at. But then I think a lot of people have said, well, actually, that's a position we can fill in the draft where we're going. But... yeah, curious. I mean, do you think there's going to be a big splashy move? I mean, everyone wants to see
I don't know. Okay, we'll talk about this in a minute, the big news, okay? Because I think that will influence what we might do. Kendall Fuller has been linked with the Bengals, the cornerback out of former Chiefs and Commanders cornerback, 29 years old, so again a little older than their average profile, but again if he's coming in to be that, you know, to challenge for a starting spot, then I don't see why not. You need a bit of experience there. Let's just go through some of these deals that have been happening today so far. Again, what is it? $6.48 at this moment in time. Saquon Barkley is visiting the Eagles. No, he has reached an agreement. Breaking news. He's reached... Do you know what I want to happen during this podcast, Nathan? I would like to report live on a Bengals signing. How much fun would that be? Saquon Barkley just swapping teams in the NFC North and going from the Giants over to Philadelphia on a 3-year, $37.75 million contract, 26 fully guaranteed. So that's quite a big one. Kirk Cousins joining the Falcons on a 4-year deal. The guard Jonah Jackson has moved from. He's signed to the for the Rams. Bryce Huff, good player from the Jets, has. Moved to the Eagles, so the Eagles getting busy as they always seem to be. The Rams have signed tight end Colby Parkinson to a 3-year, $22.5 million deal, including $15.5 million guaranteed. Now, first question on that is, who is Colby Parkinson? And secondly, why is he getting $22.5 million deals across 3 years and $15.5 million guaranteed? He wasn't starting in Seattle, was he?
No, I mean, you look at his stats, it's 200-300 yard seasons, a couple of touchdowns. He's only 25, so I guess maybe a bit like Drew Sample, maybe he's a bit of a blocker as well. He's got maybe a high ceiling, people think. But yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it, for a guy with production
will that affect Tanner Hudson's price, do you think? Because that's ridiculous, that for Parkinson, I think.
Yeah, it certainly seems quite high on the face of things. But talk about the whole tight end market. Another name out there that's been released, CJ Uzomah. Now, a bit like Hayden Hurst. Any interest in bringing him back to Cincinnati, sir?
I'm afraid not.
No?
No, I think that ship has sailed, really. He's 31, 32 now, whatever. I mean, obviously, we all love him. He's a fantastic bloke. He did great things in Cincinnati. But you know, he's been injured quite a bit last year, wasn't he? And yeah, I don't think so. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, I really like an upgrade at the tight end position. I don't mind bringing back Drew Sample. You know, the value he brings as a blocking tight end, I think, fair enough.
I suggested, Nathan, I thought you might like this. I suggested on Friday night, in the Mama T episode, I suggested Mike Gizicki.
Oh, yeah, I think he'd be great.
Yeah.
I think he's a great player, Mike Gizicki. I'm very, very happy with that. Very, very happy with that.
His value on SpotTrack was, or at least PFF, I think, actually, was $2 million, which can't be right. I would expect at least double that. But even that, that's a pretty, you know, that's affordable for the Bengals, right? So, anyway, more deals. Jaguars have signed the Buffalo wide receiver, Gabe Davis.
Good player.
Now, it's a biggie. Christian Wilkins, I think every team in the NFL had eyes on this big lad. But there were rumours that the Browns were sniffing around. But he's elected to join the Las Vegas Raiders on a 4-year, $110 million deal, Nathan. Check this out, $84.75 million guaranteed.
That's silly, isn't it?
That's crazy. But, you know, fair play to him. Who else are we looking at here? So the Vikings have signed Jonathan Greenard from Houston. That's pretty cool for them. Not so good for the Texans. What else have we got here? Bakhtiari. Hey. David Bakhtiari is, he says, called time on his time in, sorry, called time on his 11-year tenure in Green Bay, but I'm not sure whether he's retiring, hanging up the boots for good. Someone I like, Tony Pollard, has agreed to a 3-year deal in Tennessee, so Brian Callahan gets a speedy back there. Let's have a quick look.
Oh, you're missing a big one, son. You're missing, in the division, Russell Wilson.
Going well, to... yeah, well, I thought, I'd, yeah, yeah, no, that's fair enough. DeAndre Swift has signed for the Bears. Brandon Allen back in San Francisco, who are getting rid of Eric Armstead, who I'm a big fan of. Let's see if there's any more interesting stuff. Josh Jacobs to Green Bay, so they both got. Who says the running game is dead in the NFL? Green Bay have got Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs as their 1-2 punch. Bloody hell! Unless they do get rid of Aaron Jones, really, maybe that's an untenable situation. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think there's still, the running back situation is so fascinating, isn't it? Because you constantly undervalue it in terms of the sense of how much people are getting paid, and no one really wants to commit long term to running backs. But I do think, like we talked about it before, about the value of the quality of a good running game. You look at all those teams that made it. I said this before, to the, you know, to the championship rounds, they're all very good run teams. You see the Ravens do it exceptionally well with, you know, Lamar Jackson and the running backs that they've got. The 49ers were a blueprint for it with Christian McCaffrey. It's a tough one. And I think for the Bengals, it's going to be interesting because I think Paul Dana wrote one of the best articles I've read in a while about the case for sort of moving on from Joe Mixon, saving the money.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. We bloody hell, that was incredibly... forthright article, wasn't it? I think it was the best argument for getting rid of someone like Mixon out there. Goodness me, yeah, that he didn't muck around, did he, our Paul? He did not muck around. I'm sure there was lots of people upset with him for writing that. Or disagreed with him, not upset, but just disagreed with him. But yeah, he really went for it.
He's a journalist and he's got to give an opinion on something. You can't just, you know, especially when you're writing for a team, just say that everyone should be kept and everyone should get paid. I mean, that, whether you like it or not, I think that's unfortunately, you know, he's taking his independent opinion on what the market is and what's out there. And I tend to agree with him. You know, I mean, you look at some of the running back contracts out there that are going, Tony Pollard and people like that getting sort of $8-9 million. That's sort of similar to what Mixon's got. I think Mixon's a bit older and I don't think he's quite as good as someone like Tony Pollard anymore. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with that because that feels like it's been dragging for a while. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals kept him. I don't think it'd be the right move, but I wouldn't be surprised if they let him go one more year.
Yes. Right, let's talk about Russell Wilson then. Signed after all the money he's earned, in Denver during that preposterous trade. That, I mean, that some teams are just so stupid, aren't they, really? Let's face it. He now lands with our divisional rivals, our mortal enemies, the Shittsburg Sheilers, for something like 1 year, $1.2 million. It's quite a fall, isn't it, from grace for Russell? But he was generally terrible in Denver. And I think his names and reputation sort of precedes him a little bit, really. He's been fantastic. He's a very likable player. You know, he's fun to watch. I thought he got a bit better towards the end of last season, and then it didn't go so well, and he got injured, and there was all that sort of contract kerfuffle at the end of the year, wasn't there? So has he got any juice left? Will he make the Steelers any better? I mean, obviously time will tell, but what's your feelings on this? I'm not too scared about it, really. I think he's way past his best.
I don't know. I think if you're the Steelers fan, it's great. I mean, it's not only is it competition for Kenny Pickett, but it's really bloody good competition. And I think that
don't forget Mason Rudolph as well, who was the starter last year. You know, at the end of the last year.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson, I thought, played really well last year. I mean, he obviously, like, you know, they benched him at the end. He had a QB rating of 98. He doesn't have good weapons. He didn't have great weapons in Denver, and you had a new head coach coming in both times. And, you know, I think it was Nathaniel Hackett, wasn't the first year, and then Sean Payton came in. There's a lot of change there, and a lot of people said Hackett was, you know, way out of his depth of what he was trying to achieve in the first year as head coach. But I mean, he's 35, he's going to be 36 in November. He's still got, I mean, you look, Kirk Cousins getting a massive deal at 35. I don't think too many people that worried about quarterbacks of that age. Obviously, he relies a bit more on his mobility. That's going to be taking a hit. But I think it's a great signing for the Steelers for $1 million. I mean, obviously, he's still got all that money coming in from Denver, so he's not too fussed about how much he gets over there. I think he's got a great chance to start. I think he's got a great chance to make them a much better team. I mean, you've got to look throughout his career. His stats have been fantastic. Good guy. I don't know. You'd love to see him bomb in Pittsburgh for the sake of it. But I think if I was a Steelers fan, I don't think you could do much better than that for that price. So fair play.
No, I think you're right. I think for that price, why not? Why not spin the wheel? Why not have in for a penny, in for a pound on that one? I think. I'm not. You know, I'm excited. I like him as a player. I think he's way past his best, but he's capable of flickering now and again, I think, and we saw that last year. So we'll see. And he's got some good weapons there. You know, he's got Najee Harris, is a big annoying workhorse back, isn't he, that grinds it all out. He's got Pickens, and he's got Deontay Johnson, I think, and Freiermuth and Darnell Washington. So he's got some weapons there. Do you know what I mean? I wonder if they'll supplement their offensive weapons this year. So, yeah, I don't blame them really for that. Breaking news, Nathan. The San Francisco 49ers are signing the Vikings, former Vikings defensive end, Danielle Hunter, to a 2-year deal. He's a good player. So bloody hell, 49ers... getting more good players for that defensive line of theirs. Right, we need to talk about Tiggins, don't we? We need to talk about Tiggins.
What did he say to his mum on Friday to get all this happening?
I know, she didn't mention anything, man. And it has been suggested, my chat with Mama T on Friday night was actually the kiss of death for T's time in Cincinnati. So I feel it's a bit like commentator's curse, kiss of death, whatever you want to call it, podcast host curse, I don't know. So if you'd missed the news, you probably haven't now. It's, again, 7 o'clock on Monday the 11th of March. We're well into the first day of legal tampering and free agency. There's always some big, already been a bunch of big deals been announced. None so far from the Bengals. It's my ambition to 1 year to be on the air when something big is announced. But we'll see. But at the moment, there's no repeat, Nathan, of the Ted Karras and Alex Kappa deals. In fact, someone put on a tweet from a couple of years ago. Did you see that earlier? The Bengals, right, announced, or at least it was announced, that the Bengals were signing Alex Kappa. Check this out. At 12:01 on that particular day in 2022 or whatever it was, which was basically 1 minute after the gates opened on free agency. Isn't that just hilarious?
That is a smart deal, isn't it?
Yeah,
get on the phone. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
probably took about 30 seconds to craft the tweet as well. So
right? That is very funny. T. Higgins. So the news came out today that his team had asked the Bengals for a trade, and obviously it was kind of like, oh no, we were sort of all geared up for one last hurrah for T in Cincinnati this year, but perhaps not. But then you sort of, because my initial reaction, we've spoken a lot about T and his situation on this podcast before. I think we're both of the mind that, you know, pay him $21.8 million is not, you know, fair. It's fair enough. He's a great player, but what could you get if you've, you know, drafted one of these young stud wide receivers in the draft, or a little bit of a cheaper, talented version in free agency or whatever? You know, T is replaceable. Lots of injuries, blah blah blah, and yet you'd like to see him stick around for a bit because he's such a fantastic player, such a great guy. But obviously he came out today that his team had asked for a trade. What was your reaction to all that?
I'm not bothered about it at all, and I think it was to be expected in some ways. It happened with Jonah Williams. You've got to remember that the reason behind this is not necessarily anything the Bengals have done wrong. I know there's talk about that, you know, oh, they've not really got very close on a long-term deal. But
well, there was sorry to interrupt, Nathan, there was chat about the Bengals had not engaged Mulugueta for, like, during the past season or something crazy like that, and which is hard to believe. But and then another person tweeted out, well, is anybody telling this side of the story that actually Mulugueta and co didn't allow any negotiations to take place? So again, you've got to take everything with a pinch of salt during this time. There are statements coming out from agents here, there and center. You've got, like, statements from other people telling the other side of the story. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors at this time of year, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. And if you're T. Higgins' camp, you want a long-term deal. Players always want long-term guaranteed money deals, because at the end of the day with T, if he plays under the franchise tag this year and game one of the season he's not been working out with the team and he's perhaps not in exactly the right frame of condition and he tears his Achilles and he's out for the year, his market long-term for a long-term deal is very, very small, because he would have then you can really sort of put the whole, well, he's a bit injury prone label on him. Does he lose a bit of explosiveness? There's another year on his clock. And he could be costing himself millions and millions of pounds, or dollars in this case. So you can understand that, you know, he's put in the shift. He's played very well for the Bengals. He wants to get paid. There's plenty of teams out there that will do it. The way up for the Bengals is just simply, do we want to do it? You know, we've got to pay Ja'Marr Chase. We've just paid Joe Burrow. We're paying Joe Mixon a lot of money, really, for the quality he is at running back for the season.
Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Again, Mixon, there's nothing on Mixon so far. So at the moment, Mixon, it will be on the roster by the looks of it. We'll see.
Yeah. And I worry about, you know, it with T in some ways, because I think trading him, even if you were to get, like, a late first round pick, like a 29th or 30th pick, or a, you know, a late second and then a fifth or a fourth or something, that player is not going to help you win now. And I think it does. The Bengals will take a step back in terms of their quest to want to win a Super Bowl this year with T not on this roster, because no receiver, I don't think, can come in, no matter where you draft, even if you draft him, you know, in the first round pick that we have, is they're not going to come in and operate at that level of T. Higgins. Even if you took Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think he's going to come in necessarily straight away. You certainly can't guarantee it and play at a level of T. Higgins. You know, he could be a very good player. By the time he's up to speed, you know, and that's an unrealistic signing. So it's pointless even talking about it. But that's my problem is, yes, you can build for the future. Yes, you could get a young guy that could be quite impactful. But you look what the Bengals did last year with Miles Murphy. No disrespect to Miles Murphy. He wasn't an impact player for him last year. He played a few snaps. He had a sack or two. Great. But again, T. Higgins, when healthy, is the focal point of this offense. He's a 1,000-yard receiver, 7-8 touchdowns. He's a very, very good player to have out there alongside Jamar Chase. You don't have him out there, well, you're putting a lot of eggs in Jamar Chase's basket, because outside of that, in terms of a receiving threat, you've not necessarily got the quality you want at tight end. Then who's number two? Don't know. Is it a free agent? Is it this guy you're drafting? Bit of a gamble there. Tyler Boyd's not back yet. Who's your number three receiver? You're looking for people to step up and take that role already on the roster. So that makes me very, very nervous, the reliance you'd have on Jamar Chase if T's not there. So for me, I think it works for both parties to play him on the franchise tag. T, and like I said, T wants a long-term deal, but I think unless the Bengals get something staggering, I'm not sure it's going to happen. So I can understand Mulligetta's camp doing it and saying, look, let's try and, you know, put a bit of pressure on the Bengals front office, try and make it look like he's a bit disgruntled and, you know, try and cause a bit of a media stir, which they've done very nicely and very well timed about an hour or two before it all kicked off, just to try and, you know, stir the pot before everything was going on and it got lost in the noise of all the signings. So it's very cleverly timed from his team. But yeah, I'm not worried about it at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think after the initial panic, this is actually just like a straight from the agent's playbook, really, isn't it? You know, an agent has to get the best deal for his client, and in this case, the best deal for his client would be a long-term deal that pays more money over a longer period of time. Than just, even though we think the franchise tag is a fantastic deal, 1 year, 28 point whatever it is, $1 million, that's a fantastic wage. You know, you wouldn't sniff at that for a year's work, would you, really? But you know, as an agent, you don't want that. You want a long-term deal for your client, and so this is just trying to put a bit of pressure on the Bengals. But one thing we do know about the Bengals, they don't give a fuck about anything like this. Really, they don't move. They're stubborn. They have their prices worked out. Their value of players worked out. They just do not budge, really. And you know, Mike Brown and co have been put under pressure before. Or at least the agents think they're putting him under pressure, and he just doesn't cave in. You know, he's just, you know, stubborn, and they will not move or budge from their evaluation on players and positions and all the rest of it. So, yeah, we'll see. The next step, I think, if there's no negotiations for a long term deal, will be a holdout, and that's all. You know, that's all part of the process. We know T loves it in Cincinnati, he loves his teammates, the fans love him, he loves the fans. You just only have to talk to Mama T or listen to the Mama T episode to find that out. So yeah, I think it's the next step is to hold out from training camp. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. Unless they get some proper remuneration, then would I be surprised? I don't know. Part of me wouldn't be surprised if he's still here come September and he's lining up opposite Jamar Chase. Do you know what I mean? One of my little running backs to watch out for, Antonio Gibson, formerly of the Washingtons. I quite fancied him if they cut Mixon. Has signed for the Patriots, Nathan. So that you can cross that player off the list. The other thing that I wanted to mention was that Michael Pittman, the Colts receiver, has re-signed with that team, 3 years, $71 million. It's quite a lot of money, isn't it, for Pittman, I think. But anyway, there we go. So I'm not quite sure whether that will affect the value, T's value at all. But that seems to be a bit of a going rate. Perhaps T's a bit worth less. Chris Jones, of course, re-signed with the Chiefs, 5 years, $160 million. dollars. There's some staggering, staggering numbers flying about, aren't there, really?
I know. And then with these salary caps going up and up and up, you are just going to see some of these figures go up. And I mean, even someone like Drew Sample, who you're talking about earlier, was saying, look, yeah, Drew, you know, bit of a sort of, you know, he's a bit of an under, I don't want to say an unknown piece of the offense, but he's certainly not someone you're hearing too much on commentary, and you're not many people are following him. But he's getting $10.5 million over, you know, 3 years. A good, very good bit of money for someone who's not necessarily the focal point of the offense. But yeah, I mean, you look at Kirk Cousins, you know, $100 million fully guaranteed.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, I'm just looking at a tweet about that. So do you know how much he's earned throughout his whole career? So he started in 2012 with your standard, you know, four-year rookie deal. And then he went to 2016, $19.9 million fully guaranteed. 2017, $23.9 million fully guaranteed. 2018, $84 million fully guaranteed. 2020, $66 million fully guaranteed. 2022, $35 million fully guaranteed. And 2024, $150 million guaranteed. So basically, in his career, he's earned $411 million, of which, this is by Warren Sharp at Sharp Football, by the way, of which $329 million was fully guaranteed. He and his agent and his team have absolutely played a blinder for him, haven't they, really? $329 million guaranteed. He's won one playoff game.
Just quickly, so I'm breaking now, just so you were talking about earlier, Aaron Jones is being released.
Oh, he is. Oh, yeah. He was due $12 million 24. That's probably more. That's obviously more than the Bengals will want to pay, I think. Well, this is the other thing, isn't it? When players are released, you know, do the teams, whoever sign him, pick up their contracts? You know, how much more money is he owed on that contract? Good player, but you know, interesting. Right, it's exciting, Nathan, isn't it? Hey, do you get excited by all this business? I'm not going to go to sleep until about midnight tonight.
You get a lot of FOMO though, don't you? When I mean, I know it's literally only been what, like 3 hours, but you start, you know, you're like, well, what do we do? You know, you've seen all these things going around for other teams.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know. But then, you know, the Bengals have just got to sit. But this is what their style is. Apart from that sort of one a couple of years ago when they signed Kappa and Karras straight out the gates, they generally wait, sit back a bit, let all the crazy business kind of, you know, go ahead, chill out for a bit, and then they move. And but yeah, just going back to T, I think, you know, if miraculously he is traded, if someone comes in with a first round you know, tempter for the Bengals and they accept, that does release $21.8 million from the cap. And you know, from what we've got already, you know, we could make a bit of a splashy splashing. Calvin Ridley's out there. Quite like Leonard Williams still. Tyron Smith. Would you go for Tyron Smith? 33 years old, ex-Cowboys, but could do a job. Fantastic player. Cameron Curl is a good safety out there. Chase Young, Nathan. See, you could go through them all. There's yeah, fantastic players still out there. So I think we'll get some. It's just a case of when and hanging on, really.
Can I say something controversial that's going to get me in trouble? I think we've got a lot of fans.
Uh-oh, go on then.
I wouldn't, if I was another team in the NFL, I wouldn't be given a first-round pick-up for T.
Okay, explain yourself.
I just don't think it's a great use of your first-round pick. Like, I think, you know, there's so many good players out there. If you talk about a late first round pick, I mean, T's a really good player. Like, you know, he showed it various times. He has had some injuries, nothing too serious, but he's had a few. I'm not sure he's operated, a guaranteed operator as your number one receiver. I think he'd be, you know, I don't think he's a top 20 receiver in the league. He's good. I love it. He's a great guy. He's a good player. You know, he's done it in the playoffs as well. He's, you know, I'd love him back on the team. I don't know. I think if it was me as a team, and you're going to have to give him a mega contract to go with the trade as well. I mean, age is on his side. He's only 25. You get some very good years out of him. But I don't know. For me, I'm not sure I'd be giving up a late first rounder for him. I think, you know, you're better off building through the draft that way than, you know, going and taking a punt.
I think the problem that T has is that this wide receiver class in the draft is really strong. So a lot of teams will be thinking, oh, I just don't want to spend loads of money on an admittedly good receiver, but because I can get one cheap as chips in the draft, and they're all really good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, there's also some good free agents, you know, that are out there that you can go and pick up that you're not going to have to give anything up for. You know, like I'm not that Gabe Davis is exactly, he's not any close to T. Higgins's level, but you don't have to give up a first round pick for him. You know, which I think is obviously, you know, quite an important factor there. You can get him, and then you've still got your first round pick up your sleeve. So. Yeah, I don't know. I know there's all the mathematics around the compensatory picks and everything else and what you win and lose from that. But just on the basis of that, it wouldn't be the most obvious situation in the world for me for a team to go and give up a pick in the sort of, you know, 28, 27 range. I think the Bengals would be... But this is where the Bengals would probably take it. But then it goes back to the whole, like I was saying earlier, around, yep, okay, cool, we're picking... You know, at 27, do you go and package both those picks up and move up? That's quite an exciting prospect. That, you know, that's where you'd be more likely to get a player, you know, in the top 10, top 8 positions that will come in and make an immediate impact. So that's always quite tantalizing, I suppose, if you're the Bengals. But, it's one of these podcasts. Sometimes during the off season, you know, it can be me and you sort of scratching our heads of what to talk about. At the minute, we could talk about anything, couldn't we? I mean, it's just an absolutely...
Yeah. I mean, the decision is, what do we do? Do we do another podcast this week, or do we wait till next week? And, yeah, you just go from, you know, just can't stop refreshing Twitter. It's all really good fun. But you know, what do you do? I just want to talk about it all the time. So we've got a decision to make, Nathan. But of course, you can keep in contact with us on our Twitter feed, Twitter X, at @WhoDey_UK, Bengals UK on Facebook, and Bengals_UK on Instagram. Let's go to your correspondence, shall we? Cincinnati. Michael Smith at @conniving_crow.
Solid handle.
I hope T and his advisors know what they're doing. I can't remember many or any players taking on the Brown/Blackburn family and winning. However, I think if the right offer comes in, then we accept and spend that pick on a premier pass catching tight end. I mean, are there any in the draft? Oh, sorry. I mean, are there any in free agency? I'm not sure. There's a Will Disley, maybe, but would you say that's a premier pass-catching tight end? I'm not so sure there are that many in the free agency class this year.
I really, and I said this last week, do not think the Bengals are going to do anything exciting at tight end. I think the absolute best case ceiling scenario for the Bengals, I think, would be to get someone like you said, Gesicki, and I don't see it happening. I think they'll try and bring back Tanner Hudson, and I don't think there's going to be much of a market for him out there outside of Cincinnati. So I think there'll be a very good chance they can get him back. And then I don't think there's any chance they use it in the first or second round on a tight end. I think they're almost happy what they're doing at the position. They know their game plan. They don't value the tight end, but they're just not, that's not a priority for them. And I don't think they're going to be giving up big chunks of free agency money where they've already got problems in terms of where they're putting it on offense, or a premier draft pick when they've got quite big holes at tackle, D-line, safety potentially. I just don't think it's going to happen. Your best bet is someone like maybe a Gerald Everett, maybe even someone like that as a bit of depth.
I mean, I'd rather have Tanner Hudson, I think, to be honest, but... Anyway, right. Cartoon Steve Bold at Cartoon Boldy. I hope we could extend T, but if the reports are right and there's been no effort there, and from the Bengals, that is, and a pick around 33 is available. We just need to focus on the long-term potential and do the deal. I still think the Bengals have it in mind that he's going to play, you know, the old romantics there. They want him for one final hurrah, and I wonder if this news has shocked them today. It shouldn't really, because again, it's like from the agent's playbook, you know what I mean? So it's nothing, you know, they should have expected this sort of aggressive tactic for Mulugueta. And they should be expecting T to hold out during the summer as well. So, yes, John Kelly at JK_NIBengals68. It's mad out there. I don't know where to start. It's my first free agency on social media and I can't keep track. I realise now why a 50-something didn't have Twitter to start with. Well, there we go, John. I absolutely love T to bits, but I'm still in the trade-in for an 18 for a top six pick. If we can get a dance partner. Yeah, well, that could be an interesting package. T. Higgins and pick 18 for a top sixer. The Bengals just don't do that kind of thing, do they? That's the problem. They don't like, you know, they don't like it. they're kind of opposed, philosophically opposed to this sort of wheeling and dealing.
They've never, I've been a Bengals fan now for probably more than 20 years, and I've never seen the Bengals move up in the draft in any capacity in the first round or two. That I'd be wrong, like, you know, if they have, then fair enough, but I'm almost certain they haven't in rounds one or two. They've ever been like, yep, we're having this geezer. And have gone and got him, or not even that they would know the guy, because, you know, in this situation, this would be before the draft had even kicked off. But I think that the odds of that happening are probably, you know, and I'll be on freezing cold takes if it happens, but I think the odds of them going up into the top eight positions with T being traded are next to zero.
Well, there we go. Richard Murgatroyd at Richard Murg 90. Gutted, but I can't blame T. Only 1 year on the table from us. One bad injury and his value plummets. See, yeah, that's the other side of it, isn't it? From T's point of view, you know, playing on the front, we just think, oh, come on, 21.8 million for 1 year. Come on. But from his point of view, Richard's exactly right. Why would you put yourself at risk, you know, when you're in the shop window, so to speak, you know? Anyway, he continues, from our point of view, he does get injuries, and JB should be able to make a weaker wide receiver look top. So let's find a cheaper option in free agency or the draft. Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. You look at what Mahomes has done in Kansas City. You know, they've signed people off the street. You know, MVS has been released, actually. Hasn't he? And Kadarius Toney, and they're going for a three-peat this year. So who's to say that, you know, that approach doesn't work? Because it patently does. Do you know what I mean? But you've got to have the quarterback quite naturally, you know. And finally, Beal at Sports BB. I think we need to trade T for a low first or high second, and with the money available, sign a cornerback or a safety and get deep in the trenches, then with the pick, take a defensive tackle. I mean, it's not a bad strategy, is it, I guess?
So many strategies out there, my son, and there. Like I said, it's it makes your head spin a bit. Just one player that we've not talked about tonight on that subject of wide receiver, Tyler Boyd. Now, it's probably, I think, they don't think he's going to come back. It'd be either him or Sam Hubbard, the longest serving player on the team. And I think we have to give a nod to Tyler Boyd, because he's going to be off. I wouldn't be surprised to see him crop up in the AFC North in some capacity. But great servant to the club. I'd be intrigued to see his market value, what he's looking for. Is he looking for a sort of third receiver type role? And he's 29. It'd be interesting to see what he gets out there.
Yeah, I did see him linked with someone the other day, but I can't remember who it was. Was it? I mean, the obvious sort of landing spot for him is the Steelers, because he's a Pittsburgh, you know, born in Pittsburgh. So obviously we hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, I'm sure that's a consideration on his part. Oh yes, it was the Jets. He has been linked with the Jets, so that's an interesting landing spot for him. They've got a lot of good players, and Rodgers coming back, and he could certainly do a job still, you know. But I think his production and his performances, to be fair, kind of, you know, slackened off last year. So you just wonder if this is the beginning of the end for him. But we'll see. I think he can still do a job, you know, in a role playing sort of capacity, you know. I think it's really interesting. I wanted to just say Bilal Nichols, as the defensive tackle, has signed a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Cardinals. He's not a bad player. So this is going to just continue all night long, really, isn't it? It's going to be really interesting to see. I've got a couple of questions for you, Nathan. Do you think, just take a guess here, when do you think the Bengals will make their first signing? And of course, you know, it is now 7:27 on Monday, the 11th of March, 7:27 British time. So what's that? 3:37 in the US Eastern time. So when do you think the Bengals will make their first signing? Now, when I say first signing, we've already signed Travion Williams and we've already signed Drew Sample. So you could say they already have signed someone, but external free agent. Let's just say external free agent.
I'm going to say Wednesday lunchtime.
Oh, so yeah, we've got a bit of time to wait. Okay, I'll say tomorrow at about 4 p.m. No, 5 p.m. UK time. How about that? Tomorrow, 5 p.m. UK time.
Got an eye out for them.
Who will it be? You're gonna say? I'm gonna say something. I think the Bengals are gonna sign Marcus Bailey first. That's gonna be their first signing. On top of what they've already done, I think they'll need to re-sign one, if not two, of those linebackers. So I think that's important. Who do you think? I'm going to go... I'll go with Kendall Fuller then, because I think there has been talk about Kendall Fuller. So I'll go Kendall Fuller first.
I'm going to go Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, and they cut Nixon, a bit like the...
On Wednesday... Is that what you reckon that we should look forward to in Wednesday?
They'll get a... I wouldn't be the sexiest deal in the world whatsoever. I don't think Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is fantastic, that good. I mean, I know he played with Burrow before. He's quite young and, you know, he gives you a bit of a veteran presence alongside Chase Brown. But I think you brought Edwards-Hilaire in, pair him with Chase Brown, quite an exciting, you know, give some more carries to Chase Brown. Edwards-Hilaire can sort of sit alongside him. You save a ton of money. Certainly, you know, I don't know how much exactly, but you certainly get Edwards-Hilaire cheaper than you get Mixon for what he's on. And I think we move on.
Yeah, well,
maybe not the sexy deal, but like, you know, I don't know, man.
I don't think, I mean, that's a big drop off from Mixon, actually, in terms of quality. I'm not sure Edwards-Hilaire has got it really as a starting running. Anyway, I don't know.
It's more, his role would be almost like Samaje Perine's kind
okay,
of.
Okay, right. Okay, so second or third string.
Chase Brown. He's not the quickest guy, Edwards-Hilaire. So you've got Chase Brown for that. You got a bit of a 1-2 punch. Save some money. Use that to bolster up the D line. I mean, the one player I want back, we haven't spoke about him today. I really want DJ Reader back. And I think if we let DJ Reader go, I think it'll be a really poor decision, because he brings so much to the table from a personality and locker room standpoint and performance standpoint. I mean, the only question you'd obviously have is his health and his recovery. You know, is he going to be the same player after that? But if he is, you've got to get him back. I think he's a massive presence in that locker room. And for what he brings on the field, you know, you noticed his difference massively when he went out, when he went down to that Vikings game that I was at. So he's one player that I'd really like to get back. And it's not going to be cheap. And I think there'll be a huge market for him. And there's a lot of teams out there that'll take a look at him and say, this geezer's a serious player. He's a serious player in Houston. He's been a fantastic player for us. Torn quad injury, you know, like I said, that's the factor, isn't it? But yeah, I would love him back.
Well, no, I'm totally with you. I think he's a very important player. Obviously, a great guy. One of my personal favourites, as everybody knows. I don't need to bang on about that. And he has been putting videos out on Instagram of him sort of rehabbing in various water tanks and, you know, kind of fitness things. And he looks good. He's running by the looks of it. So, you know, he's well on track. But someone said today there is a market. There will be quite a big market for DJ Reader. People aren't too worried about the injury by the looks of things. And certainly from what we've heard, the Bengals are very interested in re-signing him. So I hope so. I think you agree. I put out a tweet this morning. What I would like to see was I'd like us to re-sign DJ Reader, and I'd like us to sign Tierre Tart as another defensive lineman for depth and to really, you know, help alleviate BJ Hill. And of course, Josh Tupu is a free agent this year as well. So if Tupu and DJ Reader go, then run stuffing wise, we're in deep trouble. I mean, I'm sure they've got a plan. I'm sure they've got, you know, what happens if DJ goes? What happens if they... if someone offers a hell of a lot more, you know, as I mentioned, you know, the Lions are apparently interested in him. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But, it's all exciting stuff. One last look at Twitter. We can check this out, Nathan. The Panthers are giving former Dolphins guard Robert Hunt a 5-year, $100 million deal that includes $63 million guaranteed. Another guard whose name I can't remember, went today for at least $20 million a year with a big, huge, guaranteed upfront figure. The guards are having a bit of a day today. Why not? They deserve to have their day in the sun. Well, I'm just going to have a quick scan of Twitter, Nathan, just to see before we say goodbye if the Bengals have done anything. The Dolphins have lost at the moment. Check this out. Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt, Xavier Howard, Andrew Van Ginkel, Brandon Jones, Jerome Baker, Emmanuel Ogba, Keon Crossan. Don't know who he is. Has Xavier Howard been signed by someone then? Because he's quite good. Do you see the Bills are just completely gutting their secondary, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, some teams almost unrecognisable. I mean, the amount that's going on at the moment across the board, you know, is a real difficult one. And I think there's something to be said for quite a continuity as well. You know, trying to keep a team together and add smart pieces. I mean, the Bengals have never been particularly flashy when it comes to free agency and signing megastars to big contracts. And for the most part in the NFL, they don't work very well. You know, there's instances where players have worked out. I thought the Rams did a really good job of bringing in some veteran talent before their run to the Super Bowl to get them over the line, almost like rent deals, getting in quick, pay them, get out. But you don't really, as much as we want the entertainment value of it and we want to sit there and salivate over some YouTube videos of this new fantastic signing that we've got, the reality is that the way the Bengals have done it in the past, and they've done it very well, is get some really good players that perhaps don't go off the shelf first and get overpaid, that, you know, maybe fit their system nicely and they're going to get great value for. I mean, people were talking the other day on Twitter about Chido being one of our best ever free agent signings. You know, he was a fantastic player for us for a couple of years. Obviously, the injury dropped off a bit, but he was an excellent player, really, you know, helped us to that Super Bowl run, and you were paying him, you know, far, far less than you would for a starting number one, number two cornerback. So there's players like that they can bring in, like Trey Hendrickson. They did pay Trey Hendrickson a decent amount, but for the way he's played, you know, one of the leading sack getters in the league, that's the value the Bengals want to try and get. And, you know, I don't think you'll see the Bengals' name pop up for anything too silly today, but that's fine.
We shall see. We'll monitor things. There, I mean, who knows? There might be an emergency podcast a bit later on this week, but we'll be with you next Monday. But of course, things are really moving very quickly at the moment. Stay in touch with all your favourite beat writers on Twitter. Stay in touch with us. We'll try and relay as much news as possible. Of course, we're at Hooday_UK. This week, we will be revealing the latest inductees to our very own Pub of Honour, which is exciting. And if you don't know what that is, that's a virtual space we created, a virtual pub, a bit like the Ring of Honor, but instead we've created a pub of honor where we induct personalities, people, moments that chime with the fans throughout the previous season. So we've got, let me think, we've got the mic cart in there. We've got a picture of BJ Hill and Joseph Asai when BJ Hill stuck up for his buddy in the locker room after the AFC Championship game defeat. We've got Ted Karras abusing the crowd in Tennessee. We've got our pals Joe and Rasha, who Joe and Rasha, two British Bengals fans, two Welsh Bengals fans to be more specific. Joe asked Rasha to marry him on our first trip to Cincinnati on the banks of the River Ohio, no less. So they're in. Leanne Fitzpatrick and her dog, who celebrated the first AFC Championship game win in the pub with us all. So, you know, that is that kind of thing. So we've got another inductee announcement coming this week. But I think we should end it there. Remember, dear listeners, it is 7:37 on Monday the 11th of March. Pretty much everything that we've said in this podcast you can disregard after about a couple of hours. So listen to it quick before news changes. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back very soon. Until that time, it is, of course, a who day from me.
And a who day from me. Cheers, guys. Well, it's that time for you, my friends. The NFL's running wild. Teams are throwing money around town to find their winning style. Quarterbacks and wide receivers running free just like a gazelle. Oh, it's crazy. Can't you tell? It's a football frenzy. Oh, can't you see? Players jumping ship like waves on the sea. You're changing teams, signing contracts, making a dash. Oh, NFL free agency. What's next? Yeah, yeah.
And it should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed within this podcast do not reflect those of the Cincinnati Bengals organization.